Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean. And we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. And after my stint with the inclusive wrestling team, the Melbourne Wranglers, a few weeks ago, I feel like I've gotten my head around this whole wrestling thing. But there's a whole other level when it comes to the professional scene. And when I heard that independent gay wrestler Effie was coming down under, I just knew I had to get a hold of him to come and have a chat with us here on Joy Breakfast.
He overcame the odds and slurs to forge a name for himself on the wrestling circuit and is helping to change the game for LGBTQ plus professional wrestlers everywhere. And we welcome the weapon of sass destruction himself to the show. Good morning, Effie.
Well, good morning to both of you, Dean and Rach. Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. I'm so excited to be here in Australia. This is going to be a pretty crazy weekend.
It's pretty awesome. So when people think of wrestling, they normally, everyone has just been like, so what is Effie in WWE? What's the deal? But that's an arena you have chosen not to play in. Why is the independent wrestling circuit the space you want to hang your hat?
Luckily, the internet changed a lot of things for everybody. And now we used to be reliant on these bigger companies for distribution, for people to be able to see us, for us not to be sort of stuck in small buildings or with tiny crowds. And now, you know, especially with Game Changer Wrestling, who I'm coming down there with, we've had the opportunity to travel all over the world. I've gotten to host LGBTQ wrestling shows, 7 of them so far in the United States, with the 7th coming up a week after I get back from Australia, one of them in the UK and Liverpool during Eurovision. I've had the opportunity to do so many things that I would have never imagined as an independent wrestler. And there's a lot of problems with TV advertising still that's very conservative, especially in the States. So people who are like me, who are LGBTQ, who maybe get the opportunity to get featured on TV, they're being censored or they're being muted or they're being held to a certain level to make sure people aren't uncomfortable. And luckily, I get to make people as uncomfortable as I want. And what I've found out is there are a lot of queer wrestling fans like me out there in the world, and they get to find me and seek me out, and I get to show up wherever I want all the time to people who are big fans, who are excited, and who are happy to come to a wrestling show where they're not feeling like they're going to be antagonized or attacked or treated differently. We've opened up a whole new world by not attaching ourselves to a company, and now I get to come down to Australia and see people who have already seen my face there before. This is like, it's a magical position to be in. I feel sort of free to the world, and I feel artistically like I can kind of do whatever I want within pro wrestling, and people are going to see it. People are going to be able to find me. I'm not being held back by anyone else.
Well, what even drew you to wrestling as an entertainment form in the first place?
So, you know, in college, I played in some bands. I toured with some bands. I did stand-up comedy. I played viola in high school. I've sort of done a lot of different things within, you know, the entertainment spectrum. But what I found with wrestling is like, it was sort of unlimited. I mean, I'm literally getting to go in with another performer. We're writing our own one-act plays every night. I'm performing my own stunts. I'm doing my own acting. I'm in control of my own character. I get the spectacle of the entrance. I get the spectacle of costume. I get the spectacle of theater with all the down low and the athleticism of sports. And it just feels good to get all that energy out of yourself when you're out there on the stage and to sort of be completely unpredictable to what the show is actually going to be. When I show up to a venue, I don't really know exactly what's going to happen that night. And that sort of excitement and continual creative energy is kind of what's kept me here. It sort of opened up my mind to saying, hey, there's no limit to what pro wrestling is. And people are excited for the moves. They're excited for, you know, the pinfalls and the sort of tension that's created in wrestling. But I think we've also kind of expanded what the mindset of wrestling is completely. And to sort of get to enter an arena and do whatever you want and have the fans decide if they like it or not, there's an excitement to that every night.
Look, I'm just going to jump in here as well, because I assume that another thing as well is you get to take your top off. Like, we can see you right now. You do not have a shirt on, just doing an interview. And your wrestling persona, I have done my Googling, and there is often a whole lot of body showing. So, hey, why not? If you can get your kit off whilst having fun, may as well.
I've told my partner he has to warn me if there's a dress code for anything we're going to. I don't like wearing pants. And like, as you can see at my job, I'm basically wearing a Speedo for my job. I don't wear shirts very often. It's kind of lovely that I don't have a dress code anymore. And I think it's fascinating that like the corporate structure is changing for a lot of people's jobs, where the dress codes are getting a little more lax. We're not required to wear button-ups and slacks every day to work. But I sort of had to turn all that away anyway before it even changed, because I think I have a high level of skill and I don't think any dress code is going to make me more skilled for the job. And also, I work out in the gym all the time. I should be able to kind of take my clothes off and show that body off that I've worked for. And I think it actually, you know, I got to say, I think the fans appreciate it as well. They don't want to see me all covered up. They want to see me showing body out there.
We absolutely do. I can't stress enough. Honestly, we do breakfast radio. We get up at 5 a.m. 9 out of 10 times, everyone here at Joy has had to get used to me wearing my pajamas into work, because I'm like, I'm just going with comfort.
Absolutely. I will say I've had a bad habit lately. And my tag team partner, who's coming down to Australia as well, Ali Catch, she has told me I have to stop pulling my butt out when we are in matches. And I have told her to mind her business.
And I would second that, Ali. Absolutely. I'm going to be sitting front row at the match. I would love to see that. Now, when you were coming up within the wrestling space and building up your brands, what was it like being an out and proud wrestler? Was it difficult?
I think one thing that was difficult is that you're constantly told what you're doing is incorrect or needs to be muted down. I've had wrestling legends sort of say like, have you ever thought about sort of toning it down or muting yourself? You know, maybe you'll be afforded more opportunities if you take a lighter stance in some of your loudness. And I've kind of realized that I can make the wrestling industry follow me. I can show people that, hey, if I believe what I'm doing is good, and if the fans are willing to support it and buy the tickets and come see the shows and come be excited about me, then I'm actually correct. This is still a business. And the people who are drawing fans, the people who are drawing tickets, they're going to get the opportunity. So I can think back to all these times I was told I was doing things wrong. And now, you know, 10 years into doing professional wrestling, I can go, most of the time, I think they were just nervous that what I was doing was going to work and it was going to have to change everything that they were doing. And to see the fan support, to see the new fans that are coming into wrestling, because they're saying, we didn't know there was such a big scene of LGBTQ wrestlers, and to be able to host shows that are extremely successful and show off that I'm not the only gay wrestler here. I'm not the only LGBTQ wrestler here. There are so many of us. We are all so different. We are all so talented. We are still waiting for the corporate wrestling world to kind of take a bigger bite and take a chance on these fans that are showing up and saying, yes, we're queer. We're unapologetically LGBTQ. And we also love wrestling. And we love when wrestling kind of looks like us. It's hard to continue to see the world not really embrace that all the way, but all we can do is keep kind of carrying the torch, showing up, being ourselves, and trusting that the fans are going to find us and new fans are going to see that professional wrestling is something that might be a little different than they thought it was when they started out.
Absolutely. Well, Effie, don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back after this with more of Effie here on Joy Breakfast.
Joy.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and we're speaking with out and proud independent gay wrestler Effie, who's coming down under for GCW versus Renegades of Wrestling this weekend. Now, listening to your podcast Weekend at Effie's, you're very open about who you are and what it was like accepting yourself with a very Christian upbringing.
It's something that I guess lots of people in our community can relate to. Hello, minister's kid over here. Did this upbringing like help define the way that you address like sport and the world as a whole, as well as including that with your sexuality?
I definitely had parents that were both, they were both ministers' kids. Both of my grandfathers were ministers in the church. And I have to say that like, they had a bit of learning and growing to do as well, but now they've sort of seen who I am and seen what I do, and there's so much support now. And sometimes we have to kind of take the chance of making people who love us a little uncomfortable and moving their perceptions of who we are. And I think they realize, look, you know, you're the same kid we raised. You still have a very strong moral basis. You're still willing to help people. You always listen to people. And I'd say that one thing I kind of took from that religious upbringing is I think when you're a leader in the church, when you're a leader in the community, you have to be willing to listen to people, to hear what their troubles are, to hear what their concerns are, to hear what's making them uncomfortable, and to now do that as sort of a leadership position within the wrestling community. I want people to feel comfortable talking to me. I want people to feel comfortable sharing with me. I've often joked, like, if I'm at the merchandise table, For about every $200 I make, someone has to come out of the closet. And that sounds like a joke, but to have people come to you and say, look, you're someone who I feel comfortable discussing this with. You're someone who has helped me accept who I am. You're someone who has given me strength and given me power in this sort of finding who I am on the inside. There's something super magical about that, to be just a professional wrestler who you can have people come up and share those experiences with you that are, you know, they're very intense moments with fans. And I think to be someone who listens, that's something that's beneficial from that background. But to have parents that have sort of said, look, we also are still very religious. We have our particular beliefs on things, but we are completely accepting of you. They're accepting of my partner, who I'm now engaged to. They're accepting of how I am out on the road. I will say my dad, he still asks, he says, you know, do you ever think about maybe toning it down? And like I say to the legends, I say, absolutely not. And luckily they both come out to shows where I have not toned it down at all and gotten to see the reaction and gotten to see the way people react to me. And I think they see that like my heart is in the right place. I am here to do the best work possible. I am here to be an awesome professional wrestler, but I'm also here to give people comfort and give people safety within the wrestling community if they're going to take the risk of coming out to shows, especially after the COVID lockdowns, you know, people being in their house this long. I had people coming up to me saying, I've been in my house for a year. I haven't left my house for a year. This was a big step for me to even come out in public. And so to see those people coming out to shows, taking the risk to leave their house, taking the risk to even leave, you know, their streaming services and their comfort, it's very awesome to have people that are willing to come out and take the risk, and especially within our community, take the risk to come out and see us. My parents have been wonderful, but they've also learned a lot about, you know, love and acceptance. And really, in the Christian world, isn't that what Jesus would have done? I mean, he was a man in a dress with beautiful long hair telling everyone to fish on the other side of the boat. Come on, baby. That sounds a little bit sus to me.
Amen to that.
Now, if you follow Effie on the socials, there's one word you can't escape when talking about him.
And that word is Bussy. Now, Effie, other than the obvious, your booty, how did Bussy become part of your wrestling brand?
Well, okay, so I don't want to get into too much about what this word means. I'm surprised we're even saying it out loud. I do want to say it does not mean boy word like they think. It means butt word like they think, because that is genderless and universal. But when I started the tag team with Alley Catch, we were both in a position where we were looking like we loved tagging together. We enjoyed ourselves as a team. We were both pansexual viola players at the time. And we were also kind of in a position where people were offended by us being a woman and a man together, which sounds absurd. A lot of people didn't want to book us because it was a woman and a man. A lot of people didn't want to take the risk to bring a woman and a man together in. They say, who do we put you against? What do we do? We can't have you beating people. You know, you're gay, you're this, you're that. And so I said, well, if you're going to be so offended by us, then we're also going to be a team with a name that seemingly is offensive to gay and straight people. And now, like, I found myself in New Jersey, where I was told my whole wrestling career, the fans are very strict. They want the best wrestling possible. They want the most intense things. And I'm sitting in a room with 1,000 people chanting the word bussy. And it is kind of incredible that we've been able to sort of like, you know, shift the perception of things. And I don't want to say that Lil Nas X didn't have an influence on the word, but also we had a whole different subculture that learned this word and have now taken it to heart. And now, you know, we've been ranked one of the top 150 tag teams in the world. I think we were like team 110 or 111 in the world. We've been able to win championships together. We've been able to get booked in Canada, in the US, in the States, all over the place. And now coming down under together, we're going to be tag teaming in Sydney against another queer team that I'm very excited about. And to see that we have taken something that was supposed to be, you know, holding us back, you know, like intergender wrestling, and something that was going to be holding us back, like a very gay name. We've now taken that and made it a strength, which I think is sort of a thing that we have done with a lot of our careers. And I like taking the power back. I like taking things that make people nervous about us and making them even more powerful and more powerful, you know, positive attributes to what we're able to do. So Bussy is here to stay. Allie and Effie, we're going everywhere. It's so exciting to get to tour with one of my best friends and go around the country. And even last weekend, we wrestled 3 different matches, one in Los Angeles, one in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and one in Minneapolis. And Sunday in Minneapolis was the only day we actually tag teamed, but I got to travel with my sister all over the place. I call her my sister. She's not my legal sister, but people always think we're husband and wife when we're traveling, so we have to clear it up. She's my sis.
We're going to be right back after this with more of Effie here on Joy Breakfast.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and we're speaking with out and proud independent gay wrestler Effie, who's coming down under for GCW versus Renegades of Wrestling this weekend. Now, you aren't the only queer wrestler that's coming down and wrestling this weekend. There is more than one of you, and it must be an amazing thing to be able to create this space for visibility for LGBTQ plus wrestlers to be able to come and be a part of it. It's not just about the fans attending, but also the players being celebrated for what they do and being their authentic selves as well.
And like you said, it's creating space and doing these Effie's Big Gay Brunches. I've had people come from all over the world. I've had, you know, talents come from all over the world. I've seen talents get signed shortly after. I've seen talents get bigger opportunities on a global scale. And it's sort of like, yeah, that's what's supposed to happen. I felt this frustration at a certain point as a queer wrestler looking around and seeing all these talented people who weren't getting opportunities, who weren't getting booked in the right way. And I said, am I just going to have to do this myself? And I started kind of taking that mantle up to create these shows, at least to showcase all these wrestlers, to show how talented they are. And, you know, I joked today that I'm not doing Effie's Big Gay Brunch anymore. It's so much effort. I'm doing all these shows and it's just too much effort on me to do it. But to know how far the reach is, to see how much queer talent has advanced and how many more opportunities we're able to get. And it's not all because of me, obviously. Their talent is performing on their own. But to be able to say, hey, I already have a platform in this world. I have a platform in professional wrestling. I'm going to use it to show you that there are so many more talented people out here that you're ignoring. And luckily, we've had fan support from all over the place. And now people say, you know, we found our favorite wrestlers at your shows, or we found queer wrestlers through you. And I do a Twitch stream every Monday of just independent wrestling. And to be able to showcase people who I say, these people are working really hard. I don't even have to book them on a show. I can still show them to all these people around the world that are tuning in and watching. It's really cool to have people be accepting of taking in these new talents. And also to say, here's people you're missing out on, and sort of look around the scene where I've come up and see those changes actually put into action.
Well, your death match tournaments, they're really something else. Taking Extreme to a whole new level. Will you be bringing that energy to the ring whilst you're wrestling around Australia?
This is a question I have as well. I know we are going to be bringing the hardcore action, because Game Changer Wrestling, we don't have any rules in our matches other than win the match. So if there's weapons involved, if there's crazy blood involved, there's nothing that's going to actually stop the match. And it gets a little hectic. It gets a little wild in some of these matches. And I think it's something people come to expect with Game Changer Wrestling. The thing we're usually held back by is, what is the venue going to allow us to do? We want to be respectful of the building we're in, but also, we have broken a lot of things before. We have gotten a little too crazy before. Obviously, I've had death matches with some of the best in the world, Nick Gage being one of them, and he won't be there in Australia because of other reasons, but I will, and I want to keep carrying that hardcore wild legacy. You know, people are used to seeing that hardcore stuff maybe from the Attitude Era in the 90s, or maybe, you know, they've seen a few ECW matches, but what we're doing now is all the time. It's crazy. You're going to see doors and tables and chairs and possibly barbed wire and who knows what else broken in the ring with our bodies. And yes, there is a very particular skill to it. Some people think we're just hurting each other. There's a magic to it. It's like if you went to a magician and you said, how do you cut a woman in half? He wouldn't just say, I cut a woman in half. That wouldn't be a very good magic trick. But there's definitely some pain involved in it. And I want to make sure that the Australian fans get their full GCW experience. So I imagine things are going to get a little wild and a little crazy. And I'd like to leave a little bit of my blood on the island. Who knows?
I have a tip for you. You already now know that Dean is going to be sitting in the front row, and I'm giving you permission to use Dean as a weapon. Just pick him up, throw him at something.
I'm very solid.
He'd make
That's
a good
what
weapon.
I need. Yeah, I need someone who won't get injured. I've had trouble before where fans have maybe gotten a little too into the action and it's caused some issues. And I need fans who are willing to say, look, we're assuming the risk. It'll be fine if you use me a little bit. But I mean, best case scenario, maybe someone beats me up and I end up in your lap looking for a little solace.
And look, Look, I'll happily sign the waiver for all of that. Absolutely. Effie, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I hope while you're down here in Australia, you not only get to wrestle, but also hug a kangaroo, which would be very nice. And we really loved having you come and join us here this morning on Joy Breakfast.
Yes, thank you. And I'm ready for my brekkie. I need more brekkie. The Australians have the best breakfast in the world, hands down. I'm so excited to be down there again. Thank you all for having me. Dean and Rach, you've been awesome.
We also have the best budgie smugglers as well. You called them Speedos before, but in Australia, they're called budgie smugglers. Get your hands on some.
Okay, I'm ready for the budgie smugglers.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.